Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we are encouraged in this 15-minute empowerment in our process, in our life, in our struggles, and the things that we face, and our destiny, and our purpose. And as we encourage in these areas, and we allow our faith to and our trust in God to take us to the place where we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through our everyday situations, applying the Word of God, believing Him, we see that demonstration and the manifestation of His love, His light, His Word, His truth in us, that we might be hope to someone else, life to someone else, encouragement to someone else, empowerment to someone else, that we might bring someone else to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because the life that we live should manifest the glory of God. It should look like and represent Jesus because we are His. And because we are His, He's empowered us through the Holy Spirit and His Word, His life and His truth to now live and do what we could not do in our own selves. We do it by His grace. We do it in His strength and in His power. And as we do this, we see God's love in us shine greater and brighter than anything else that you could ever imagine. And we are in that place where God can continue to grow us and move us and shape us, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith. He takes us higher and higher in Him. He expands the borders of our mind, our capacity to know Him in a more intimate way. He reveals His Word, His plan to us in a deeper revelation, because as we grow more intimate with Him, He's able to show us more and more because we trust Him and we believe Him and we follow after Him hard. We pant for Him. And when we do this, God is able to trust us with even more because we rely totally on Him. We've been looking at an unlikely place of blessing in the last few weeks and started off in the book of Esther and went to Joseph. And now we're still in the book of Genesis, but looking at Jacob. And we're looking at an unlikely place of blessing when there is a character issue, but there's a character change. While we're on our way, a process of having things in our life that doesn't look like God in our character, God is stripping us of these things, reteaching us, because there are characters in our life that we've learned and practiced for many, many years. So the Lord has to take us to a place where we learn over again how to live, how to think, how to react, how to respond, how to conduct ourselves. And our characters change as we trust Him and we allow the Word of God to refine us and reprove us, to shape us, to strip us. So we see here that Jacob goes through this, and because of this, he's not the same person. He is not the same man that he started off as. The Word of God says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So we're going to pick up after the twins are born. After they're born, and we understand that Esau was ruddy. He was, his complexion was very red. He was very hairy, and Jacob was not. He was smooth skin, and he was not hairy as his brother was. And we see that Esau liked to hunt. He was out in the woods. He loved to catch venison game for his father, and his father Isaac loved the way he cooked it, and so he was his favorite. Rebecca favored Jacob, but this is the beginning of what we said before of favoritism. And this favoritism goes on in the life of Jacob with his children. And this is the reason why his son Joseph was basically hated by his brothers, because of favoritism. And that favoritism began with the two wives who were sisters. Jacob loved one over the other, and the other one wanted his love. Wanted and desired his love, and he didn't love her like he wanted Rachel. So Leah was the one that had all this rejection, and that rejection went through the children, so there was a war even in the children because of favoritism. But we see here Jacob is cooking some food, and he's cooking a stew. He understood his brother's behavior and conduct. He knew that Esau had appetites that were sometimes uncontrollable. Esau is in the woods, he's coming back, he's tired, he's hungry, and he sees that his brother is cooking a red stew. And this red stew he asked for later is known as Edom, which would be the land that he would basically dwell in, and the land itself, the dirt itself, the ground, is reddish. And so because of his reddish complexion, his red, the hair and his hairiness, he always desires things that are red. And so we see that he goes to his brother, inquires of getting some food, and he says that he's about to starve to death. He's about to die. And we know that he's not about to die, but because of an insatiable appetite, an uncontrollable appetite, he's led by his stomach. He's led by his flesh more than the things of the spirit. And so Jacob gets him to swear that he's going to sell his birthright, get his birthright. And a birthright was given to the eldest male of the family, and a double portion of the estate was given to that male. Now, if they had other children, there were blessings that was given, but it was no way in comparison to the portion that was received with the eldest child. We see this demonstration with the children of Job, because all of his sons were blessed, and we know that the eldest was blessed more or better than the other ones, but they were all blessed. They all had a portion, and the portion was great enough that they could live off of it. So we see that Jacob wants what Esau does not regard as good or right or holy. Now, God told Rebekah in the beginning that when they were in her womb, that the younger one was going to be the leader, and the eldest would serve the younger. So she held on to that, and she probably rehearsed it in the mind and heart of Jacob, because she understood that God was getting out of order, so to speak, to bless whom he wants. And God will do what he wants. When he wants to bless you, he will bless you. When this happened, when the Esau gave this blessing, or gave this birthright to his brother, he didn't really regard it. The Bible says that he despised his birthright, and he had contempt for his birthright. In the book of Numbers 15 and 31, the Bible lets us understand that even though Esau scorned the promise that was given by God, that God himself says something about someone scorning or despising his will. Numbers 15 and 31 says, but 30 and 31, I'm going to read 30 and 31, says, but the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is a native born or a stranger, that one brings a reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people because he despises the word of the Lord, and he has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off, and his guilt shall be upon him. In 2 Samuel 12 and 9, David gets a rebuke by the prophet because he himself has despised the word of the Lord by breaking two of the commandments when he had Uriah the Hittite killed to be with his wife. He coveted his wife, and then he had him killed. So he broke the commandment of the Lord. In Malachi 1 and 6, the Lord begins to speak, and he talks to the priest who despised him by not following his command. This talks about despising God or despising the name. And this time, during this time, the name of a person symbolizes someone's character, his works, his reputation. So basically, when they despised the word of the Lord, they were despising God's character, God's work, and God's reputation. Everything that God wanted, God willed and wanted to happen, they were despising it. Esau was despising what God was going to do with the generation of Abraham's children, his descendants. He did not want it. He didn't see it as valuable. He didn't see it as something that was honorable to him. So he despised it, had contempt for it. He scorned and scoffed at it. He thought it was nothing, so that was easy for him to sell it. And this was already in his heart. God already knows the character of us before we're ever born. So he already knew that Esau was not going to be the person that was going to be able to do the will of God, that even though Jacob had issues with his character was going to change, but the heart of Esau was not going to change. He was not going to have a heart after the things of God and the promises of God. So the Lord already knew this, and he had already set in order the plan to bless the younger over the older with the birthright. so that the generations or the legacy of what God promised would be continued and it would be rehearsed in the minds and the hearts of every descendant, and they would know what God spoke to Abraham. That would go down as a blessing to every generation. As we see that there's something else happens after this event of Esau selling his birthright, there's a famine in the land. And this is not the famine that Abraham experienced, but this is a different type of famine. And unlike Abraham, the Lord does not allow Isaac to go into Egypt. He tells him not to go there. The Lord, this is the first time that we see that the Lord is speaking to Isaac. He has spoken to Rebekah, but this is the first time that we see that God is speaking to Isaac, and God is reassuring Isaac of promise, of the covenant, of what he spoke to his father. He's letting him know the same covenant that I've given to your father, I'm now giving it to you. So the Lord tells him, don't go down into Egypt. He wants him to dwell in Gerar, and he wants him to stay there. The land in Gerar was actually better. It was better for farming. So God wanted him to begin to plant. And this planting was not just a natural planting. I believe that the Lord was letting him understand that I'm giving you fertile ground to let you understand what I'm getting ready to do, not only in the natural realm, in the financial realm for you, but in the spiritual realm for you and your seed. I'm letting you know that this ground is fertile, that I'm going to multiply you, and the ground that you're on, that you're going to use for farming, is an indication of what I'm going to do in the future and in the spirit realm for your family, for the descendants of Abraham. So the Lord speaks and he tells him, don't go down. And the Lord reminds him that he's the same God that was with his father, and now he's going to bless him. He also lets him understand that he's going to continue his promise, the same promise that he gave to his father. He's going to continue it, and it's going to be established as an everlasting covenant. And God promises that Isaac's descendants will be innumerable as the stars because of his covenant with Abraham. When God begins to speak a generational covenant, he rehearses it over and over and over again, and he lets every generation know that he's going to be faithful to them as he was to the previous generation to do some things. We have that same covenant. God has promised us some things, and he's going to do exactly what he says in our life. And it does not matter how we're going through the process, whether it's our character, our attitude. If God has made a promise to you, he's going to do what he says, and he's going to get you where you need to get. If you have to go, your obedience and your faith and your trust is the key that's going to open up the door to determine how long you're going to be through your process. If you're going to allow God to do a quick work in you, shape you, are you going to respond to him, say yes to him, to yield to him, allow him to shape you, cut away, deal with some things in your life, then you're going to go through your process quickly. But if you deny or continue to hold on to the things that God is saying let go of, you're going to be in your process longer. It's according to your faith, your obedience, your trust, your willingness and submission to the will of God that determines how long you're in your process. If God says, I want to begin to deal with areas of your character, then let him deal with those things. And don't argue with God and say, no, that's not like me. Agree with the Holy Spirit quickly, because the Holy Spirit comes to give truth and guide the truth. And if he's leading and guiding you in truth, he's going to give you all that you need and let you understand that where he's taking you at is the place of destiny and purpose. There are certain events that God has always and for us that are going to happen in our life, certain blessings, certain places where there's a releases and breakthrough and promotion in the spirit and the natural. And God has always set those things in order. They're going to happen in our life. But if we don't allow God to shape us, the character that is not like him is going to show up in that place that's been already predestined. And if that character shows up in that place that you've already predestined to go to, that does not look like God, that does not glorify him, that is going to be your downfall, you'll get to an event, but you won't be able to possess that place. You won't be able to possess that territory because of character flaw, because of character issues. You won't be able to stay there. And God never wants us to go to a place and not remain. He always wants us to go and possess that land, mark it for his glory.
I'm Pastor Cheryl Saxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight, encouraged in the things of God, allowing God to shape us and make us to his purpose and his destiny for us. Be encouraged in your life, in your walk of faith. Allow God's will to be done. Hold on to his word. And we'll see you next week for another empowerment. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.